Welcome to show number 925, this 10th day of February. I'm Todd Cochran, your host. Strap in, here it comes. This is the Geek News Central Podcast, bringing you the latest tech and science news, coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save today at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Fans, strap yourself in for a great show. Geek News Central, the longest running tech podcast, is ready. It's showtime. Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm glad to be here and got a great show lined up for you this evening. It's been, mayhem around here. We'll talk about that in here just in a little bit. But I want to give a warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. If you're brand new to the show, we definitely want you to take time out of your schedule and come over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content on the website. We got lots of content over there for you to browse. A lot of recently, most of the content that's been going up is audio and video content. We'll talk about why here in just a few short seconds. But definitely subscribe to the show while you're over there. It's real easy to do. You'll find a link to that in the second column of the website. And also make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. That way you'll never miss basically the show notes coming directly to your inbox immediately following the show. You'll have all the content that I've talked about tonight. And some people, I think, sometimes just go through the links and don't listen to the show. I've heard that before. So if you don't have time to listen, that is always an option. But we hope that you'll always listen to the show because we've always got great things to put out for you here. Of course, you can reach out to me real easily. To do so, you can do it via Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me, geeknews@gmail.com is a place to reach out. So either one of those, Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can follow us on our Facebook page, on Google Plus. All the links are in the show notes. You can't miss it from a contact standpoint. So there's plenty of ways to reach out to the geek here at Geek News Central. So got lots to talk about tonight. Really, I do. And I'm real pleased with how everything's working out so far with the extended show notes. I've been watching the stat counter really close to make sure that Google isn't going to hammer us for our new tactic. We think it's working. So that's good. Everything's within the show notes on the website itself here at Geek News Central, which is the most important. Hey, tonight's show, of course, is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy. And you can find all my GoDaddy promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We've got some deals. I mean, deals, in just every sense of the word. You know, $2.95 for .com. And that's pretty incredible. But at the same time, I can get you free domains with the purchase of some products. If you pick up the website builder, or if you pick up just a standard hosting account, we're actually going to give you a free domain with either of those accounts. I can find, again, all the codes over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We got 50% off new hosting plans. Again, you get a free domain with that by using the promo code 50HOST7. We've got 12 months of website builder by using the promo code 50WSB7 with a free domain. And we get 32% off your order at GoDaddy by using the promo code GO32OFF1. And I actually had someone email me and said, hey, Todd, I used your 32% off code on a .gru domain name. So that takes that domain price down to just about $30. So a whopping 9% or so are $9 off the domain. Now, those domains are $39. They're not cheap. You know, right now, all the boutique domains are coming on, and some of them are really expensive, but .guru has been pretty, well, it's been relatively a good price. So definitely use that 32% off code over at GoDaddy, and don't forget the $2.95.com for newertransfer.com for the first year by using their promo code 295GEEK. The 32% off is GO32OFF1. Now, what we have had, and I actually forgot to, let's make sure I'm not pressing the wrong button here. We had an audio spot done by Gwen, the new spokesman at GoDaddy, on that 32% off code. So let me go ahead and roll that here.
Hi, my name is Gwen. I'm a GoDaddy customer and spokesperson. GoDaddy helped me launch my new puppet business. They have everything you need to put your business online, find new customers, and kick ass. Get started by registering a domain name and creating your website with GoDaddy's easy-to-use website builder. Already have a site? Keep it running fast with GoDaddy web hosting. It's go time. Visit GoDaddy.com, enter promo code GO32OFF1, and save 32% on your new purchases. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
And we want to thank Gwen for that nice shout out. And of course, that GO32OFF1, use that code as often as you can. And that helps out the show here at Geek News Central. All right, let me go ahead and get into my short stack tonight. We did the new media show on Saturday. We had a team member from the Podcast Movement Conference that was on, and we talked to him for, just about 80 minutes or so. New conference is going to be happening in Addison, Texas. And one of the leaders over there is Gary Leland. Of course, he's the guy that was originally behind Podcast Pickle, for those of you that remember Podcast Pickle. But Gary's involved in two things. Pottertainment is a magazine that I'm writing for that will be released, I believe, on the 15th. And we're going to have Gary on the new media show this coming Saturday to talk about the magazine. And then we're going to, and hopefully we'll be able to dissect it article by article. And then come in August, he's going to put on this big mega podcaster conference in Addison, Texas, which is just north of Dallas. So again, had one of his team members on this past Saturday. Definitely not a, I'm calling it definitely not a puff piece, because we kind of took, his team to task a little bit on basically give them some ideas and suggestions, and we'll see how it works out with them from a, putting this conference together and what kind of response they get. Kickstarter kicking off on Thursday, and we'll talk about it here more then. Okay, let's see here. You know, what's really been going on, and I've gotten some emails from folks saying, how come there's not more CES stuff up? And I definitely want to encourage you guys to make sure that you visit TPN.tv, because the other team members have been a lot more, I guess for a better word, fruitful in getting stuff done than I have. I want to be straight up. I have just been, utterly slammed. And it has just been a, I guess for a better word, almost a perfect storm. It's in a good way. It's kind of weird here, because what's been going on is that I've had like a dozen requests for proposals for podcasting campaigns. I've got taxes I'm trying to get done. Got a whole bunch of stuff going on with Raw Voice, and it's just been this mega storm, plus lots of stuff going on with the kids, and I'm underwater right now. I'm definitely not keeping up with everything I need to get done. So, I'm in a slight panic trying to keep up. It's been insane. It really, really has. So if I seem a little frazzled, it is because I am. Things have just, it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. Don't get me wrong. I'm dealing with a lot of podcasters that, call me. I want to be on one of these campaigns you've got. And I'm like, dude, you're not on the stats. And I can't even offer you a candy bar, because I don't know what your audience is. And, my audience is great, this and that. And I'm like, get on the stats so I can bring you on a campaign. And it's pretty, it goes back to the old days of, definitely three types of podcasters. The hobbyists, the guys that want to make some money but are not too serious. And the business guys never have problems with these guys. But it's these middle group that's just dry. And I don't want to use my middle finger here, but the third group is driving me nuts. Really, just driving me crazy. So it just comes to the territory, and it's better to be busy than not to be doing anything at all. It's here nor there, but still planning a trip to DC at the end of the month. And that's going to be coming on to me just like boom. It's going to be here, and we're going to be on the road. Only audio shows, the two shows I'm going to do while on the road. So just be aware of that. I'm going to be traveling Let me show you what I'm, for those of you who are watching. This is what I'm going to travel with. Just a small Tascam unit. Going to plug the headset into it. It's got an SD card. And we're just going to record the show right on this Tascam and be done with it. And a little less pressure for me on the road. I'm not going to have to lug all that big gear with me to on the airplane. This will fit in my regular suitcase, which will be good. So anyway, it's going to be fun to do the show that way. All right, let me get into the stack here. Oh, I just don't want to forget. I'll also remind you guys that we're still taking auditions for podcasters that want to do a show here at Geek News Central. And all is we're going to launch any new shows that we're going to have when we launch the multi-user site. When Geek News Central takes us over its radical transformation, we've come up with a new design. I've got it figured out what it's going to kind of look like. Now it's got to get cut and put together. And it's really going to be slick and how the branding is going to work for each show across the network. I'm really pretty excited about what we're going to do here internally. And really, it's not a network. It's a family show. It's one of our family member shows here at Geek News Central. You got the Gadget Professor. You got Robot Underpants. We got the special media feed. Lots of stuff we're going to be adding to another show Don Bain and I are going to be introducing soon. So it's really pretty exciting from that standpoint. But we want to add a couple more shows. And if you have an idea, definitely drop me a line. I want to thank all the insiders that continue to contribute to the show. It's greatly appreciated. All right, let's go ahead and get into the stack here. Let me close all this stuff. Don't forget as well that, you know, if you're looking for a good camera, good video camera for your home to monitor what's going on, pick up a drop cam. And if you got an extra gadget laying around, don't forget our good friends over at Gazelle. The link is in the show notes. I mean, basically, the link is in the sidebar on Geek News Central on how to get that going. So don't forget that as well. Okay. So let me see here. Let me bring up the other browser and see what I've got first in the stack tonight. Kind of a weird night for news. I was trying to come up with a theme. And we'll decide on a theme or a title for the show at the end. But there's a good article on Paul Thurrott's Supersite for Windows. We had Paul on when it used to be the Morning Tech Show before we changed it to the New Media Show. We've had Paul on before. And, of course, Paul is an eminent, you know, he's really the guy when it comes to talking about Windows. And he has done a op-ed that is nothing less than, I mean, the ultimate smackdown of Windows and of the new Windows and Windows 8.1. He says, when critics describe Windows 8.1 as a step backwards, I disagreed. Responding to customer complaints is never wrong, I argued, and new versions of the OS made it more acceptable on many different types of PCs and devices on which Windows now runs. With Update 1, however, I am beginning to question the validity of this new direction. I'm now wondering whether Microsoft has simply fallen into an all-familiar trap of trying to please everyone and creating a product that is ultimately not ideal for anyone. And here's the deal. You know, I'm usually a very early adopter on operating systems. You know, I usually make the punch pretty close to release day, sometimes before. And for many years, I've done that. Well, I'm still running Windows 7 here on this machine. That's a Mac sitting there. Of course, the TriCaster runs on Windows 7 by default. The audio recording machine is a Windows 7 machine. I got a laptop that's over here in the corner that's got Windows 8 on, and I don't use that very often. I got another laptop over here that's got Windows 7, but yet I have on my shelf two brand new licenses for Windows 8 that are still in the shrink wrap. And I haven't made the push. And this machine here is my, you know, I sit in front of this machine. It's right here in front of this camera, right below this camera, for many, many hours every day. And with just a one click of the button on the screen, I can switch to a Mac. And I got a, you know, the old tower, a Mac Pro sitting underneath here. That generally is only on when we're doing the show or editing video. And the rest of the time, it's not on. But I do have a MacBook that's sitting here next to me. And in all honesty, I just use Windows. And it would seem logical that I would make the jump. But, you know, for me, the Windows 8 thing was a train wreck. And with Metro, it just never made sense for me to make the move. So maybe with this Windows 8.1, they're going to satisfy some of my issues. While the start button isn't going to be completely there, at least I'm not trapped in this Windows 8 nightmare of a interface where I have to kludge something together with plugins and stuff like that. I want the thing to run natively. I don't want to have to add a bunch of stuff. So from that instance, I think Paul may be wrong. I think Windows 7, in my opinion, was the best operating system ever, known to man to this point. Windows 7, I mean, it's going to be around as long as Windows XP. You know, Windows XP will be long dead, even though there's a lot of people still running Windows XP, and Windows 7 is going to be that next operating system that 10 years from now, people are still sitting on. For the most part, it does the job for most people. But I know a lot of people are moving to tablets now, and I just find it still hard to, you know, do proposals. I do long form Word documents on a tablet. I can't do it. You know, I've got a Chromebook. I've used that. And for me, and some of you guys, you know, and again, you know, I'm operating system agnostic. I travel with a Mac. But for me, the Mac has never completely been able to satisfy my primal urge to make a change completely and go fully Mac here in the house. It's close, but it just hasn't yet. And why? I don't know. Maybe old, you know, you can't teach a dog new tricks. Maybe that's part of it. But I really think that Paul's take, you know, he was pretty critical here of Windows and talks about, you know, the train wreck that happened within Microsoft. So it'll be curious to see how this new CEO operates. But I'd love to have you guys read this and give me some feedback. Tell me what you guys think about where Windows is going and Windows 8.1, or did you abandon Windows? Have you moved to a Mac platform? Or are you sliding towards viewing everything in the cloud with Chrome? You know, love to hear. And, you know, how many of you are finding that you don't need your laptop very much anymore? You're just using a tablet. Have you got to that point? And I think tablets really kind of make us dumb. I really do. You know, the apps are okay, but I think they just kind of really dumb things down to the extent that it's, you know, maybe that's the purpose. We're just supposed to be brainless and making this and using this stuff. But just, you know, for many cases for me, you know, you got to have that big keyboard and it just works faster. But love to hear you guys' feedback. All right. I've got the, I don't think I showed you guys. I've got Windows Glass. Google Glass. The Windows on the brain here. Oh, that's not the box. Where's the box? Oh, it's way back there. So I've got the frames for Google Glass. I got to get over to the optometrist and get my prescription or the lenses ordered for it so I can get some lenses. But for those of you wondering what's going on with the frames for Google Glass, I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. And you can see how it's going to work. And I'm excited about getting frames. I got to get them ordered. I got to see how much they're going to cost me first because I've already used my insurance. Well, I don't want to use my, I use my insurance right at the end of the year. And I can't get new glasses again until, you know, I can use it anytime this year. But I want to save for my optometry appointment, you know, near November. And so I'm going to have to pay for the lenses for Google Glass, but we'll see how it goes, and I'll talk to you guys about the experience as I get to that point. All right, want to switch gears here quite a little bit and talk just a little bit about some stuff going on with Verizon. Verizon's being really criticized right now. Netflix has even said that data going into Verizon customers has slowed down. And they were ranked 25th in the stack. Now, not about their Fios, but their other service offerings. They are definitely getting some punch back, and they're not saying that, you know, no one's really saying that this is it's a slow network or if Verizon is actually putting the brakes on people. But what I did find interesting, there was a little bit of a parody. Let me see if I can get everything set up here to make this switch clean. There we go. Over at viralstories.net, very cool parody video. And I want you guys to watch this. It's funny. It's a minute and 53 seconds. You're going to get a good laugh about it, talking about how net neutrality's gone and how at some point, maybe in the future, you're going to get this pop-up window that says streaming blocked by Verizon. Upgrade to high-speed corporate criticism plan. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. But it gave me a little bit of a chuckle. There's a little bit of a, how should we say it? I'm not going to give you the spoiler. So you got to watch the video all the way through. This is a good one, and just listen to the text. You know, having been retired from the Navy for a while, it's interesting to see where the Navy's going. You guys know my background. You guys know that I spent 24 years in the P-3 Navy, and flew just shy of 10,000 flight hours. Probably it was over 10,000, but my book was a couple hours shy. But because sometimes they didn't log it all. But anyway, the Navy is testing this new system called the Triton. It's the Navy 757 size drone, and this is pretty amazing. It's as big as a Boeing 757 jet. It's going to be the Navy's going to use this in conjunction with their new P-8 aircraft that they bought. And, basically this will kind of act as a platform in the sky to do a mission and then, basically be handoff to a manned air crew. And I've always been kind of a negative type of guy when it comes to the Navy's use of drones. And it's largely because I truly think that in some missions, eyeballs will never, multiple eyeballs and a coordinated crew will never replace a couple of guys in a conic somewhere flying one of these things. This thing is a follow-on to an Air Force program. And I believe it, let's see here, what is the actual system that they followed on from? It builds upon the Global Hawk that the Air Force, I think the Air Force actually abandoned Global Hawk, but anyway, the Navy's ordered a number of these, and if you've got a son or a daughter that's thinking about a career in the military, the Navy and this drone program will probably be 20 years worth of work for them. It's going to definitely set some people up for the future. So if I was a young whippersnapper and I was 18 years old and looking for a 20-year career in the military, I definitely would do whatever I could to go drones. To work on them, to be a tech, to be a, even be a pilot of one. Lots of opportunities are going to be there for sure. And one thing's for sure, these drones don't go on aircraft carriers. They're land-based, and you don't take a 757 off on an aircraft carrier, that's for sure. Happy birthday to Flickr. Flickr's turned 10. I still have an account over on Flickr, and maybe I've become jaded over the years, and I haven't thought about using Pinterest or all these other sites, and maybe they're not, those sites really aren't designed for people to upload their picture stuff from bunch of stuff you shoot. My daughter uses Pinterest a lot. I know there's Google Plus has a place to drop photos, but I probably got 50,000 photos on a hard drive here. They're all backed up multiple places, of course, but are you guys uploading all your images to some site? Are you putting them somewhere? Some people use Shutterfly and a variety of things. There's a lot of options. I guess I should really look into it at some point. It's probably one thing that I have not done well in all these years is, you know, I shoot all these pictures, have stuff on my phone, and then it's just for me. You know, I guess I'm a selfish. I just have them there for me to look at. And I back them up. And, you know, sometimes I have Apple TV playing. We'll just let them flip through all the photos and the photo albums. So, I don't know. Flickr turning 10, they had so much potential, yet they just kind of blew it, you know? They really did. I know Yahoo is starting to, you know, put some more CPU cycles into it. But anyway, Flickr's 10. I think I've been there since the beginning. And I probably got maybe 1,000 pictures on Flickr. Maybe. Of tens of thousands that I have shot. Hey, those of you that live in Austin, oh boy, on the heels of Google announcing plans for Google Fiber in Austin, AT&T announced 1 gigabit plans of their own, though those 1 gigabit connections only currently operate at 300 megs, and the users need to agree to AT&T's deep packet inspection to see the $70 price point. And that's a little scary. Grande Communications is now trying to one-up Google Fiber and AT&T, offering Austin users 1 gigabit per second connections for about $65 a month without a contract. They're saying that new faster speeds will be available to around a quarter of Grande's existing Austin customers, making Grande the first company to actually offer 1 gig per second connectivity in Austin. This is incredible. So the service is going to be available to about 75,000 homes and businesses in the Austin area. So, you know, you don't have to agree to that deep packet inspection or snoopvertising. Yes, snoopvertising that AT&T wants to do. So this is awesome. It really is. I think this is power to the people here from a very, 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 very smart on Grande. Of course, I have no idea what their reputation is. But it's going to be available in Austin. Bring that to the rest of the country. All right, Chromecast is now supported on almost all embedded YouTube videos. And this is good. So anytime you put a YouTube video on your blog, the little link will be down there. People will send it to Chromecast up to your... It's great. It's really, really great. You don't have to be on YouTube anymore. This is fantastic. So nice to see that this has been rolled out, and it's gonna make a major impact as you're surfing around the web. All right, if you're a Comcast customer, they've allegedly been hacked, and people are being advised to change your password. Comcast isn't saying that, but that's the rumor on the street. A hacking group known as Null Crew. N-U-L-L crew claims to have hacked Comcast servers last week, possibly gaining access to user account information. So you should change your passwords now, just in case if you're on Comcast. All right, now, you guys know that I've been kind of poo-pooing 4K a little bit. And I've been saying for a long time, God, how, you know, to be able to afford a 4K camera is going to be incredibly expensive. You know, what has to happen to shoot 4K is shooting it and buying the camera is not the big deal, but then you need the entire ecosystem to process the video, and you need a monitor capable of 4K, and you got to have a machine that can handle these big video formats. So you're thinking to yourself, oh man, this is going to be out of reach for a long time. But Blackmagic today shocked the world. They're now shipping its production camera 4K for $1,000 less than expected. Now, this is still going to sound crazy. From now on, the 4K Super 35 sensor global shutter equipped model is priced at $29.95. That's $2,995 instead of $39.95. Again, making it the cheapest 4K Pro camera on the market right now. Now, this is... I want you to hold up there. That's just for the camera body. It's not for the lenses, okay? The lenses are extra. So, you know, if you buy it, it'll fit a lot of different lenses. But, you know, you're probably a couple thousand dollars to get some decent lenses to shoot cinematic quality. But really what this really does is this is going to allow you to, for those of you that are aspiring to make films, to shoot in 4K for probably around $5K. Yes, $5,000. That's an incredible price point. The camera that sits right here that I just put my hand on, for those of you watching, you know, that's an SDI out camera. It's 1080p. It's an XD Cam EX from Sony. You know, that's north of $5,000, that camera. And in all honesty, you know, the Canon that we were shooting with at CES, if I put it at the same distance, would probably shoot as just as good a video now, because this camera now is maybe 5 years old plus. And, you know, at some point, matter of fact, the other camera that I've got, my other HDV camera, I was looking at it tonight in the, and it's at the point now where it probably needs to be considered to be retired. And I need to put something else over there. Maybe time to put it up on eBay and sell it while I can still get some money out of it. So, you know, definitely, you know, these smaller cameras do a great job, but $3,000 for the Blackmagic 4K camera. Again, pretty incredible. We've talked, and this, of course, this camera was delayed for a while. It was introduced at NAB. So we'll see what happens with this when this gets on the market. This is going to give the folks at Red a run for their money today. All right, switching in the space news. Hey, the folks at Space History have released a photo. And I don't know how many of you remember this photo. I actually remember this happening. I don't know how many years ago this was, but there was a mission, I think one of the first Hubble repairs, where they flew out and they actually changed out the solar array. And here's this magnificent picture of the Canadian arm with an astronaut on the end of it, with the astronaut holding, it was astronaut Kathy Thornton, who basically pitched this thing, you know, shot it towards Earth, and eventually it made its way and did a, you know, low entry, you know, did a re-entered and burned up. But, you know, as you look at this, you're thinking to myself, you know, you're thinking, how you know, in vacuum of space, it's amazing what you can handle and move around yourself. A pretty cool picture from the folks at NASA releasing this. You just wonder how many taxpayer dollars are on the end of that arm there, getting ready to just be discarded. Another cool thing has been this in the news is Hubble Telescope has revealed one of the youngest galaxies ever seen. A new deep view of the universe from NASA's Hubble Space Telescope has revealed one of the youngest galaxies ever observed by astronomers. The galaxy is ancient, but from the perspective of Earthlings, it looks young. It's dubbed Abel 2744_Y1. The galaxy is so far away that it takes about 13 billion years for light from the galaxy to reach our neighborhood. That means it appears it was just 650 million years after the Big Bang. Scientists say the universe is estimated, of course, to be at 13.8 billion years old. Now, if we can see light from 13 billion years ago, if we think about that, just think about that from a time perspective, that it has taken 13 billion years for the light to reach Earth. That makes you go, So, you know, that object may not even be there anymore. It could be gone, you know, in all reality, it could be. But, you know, the question is, you know, if we're seeing 13 billion years out, you know, what's it's, there's a lot of things there you have to think about in your head a little bit. You go, oh, man, that, you know, it's just we are so insignificant. You know, we're not even a speck of sand in the, you know, at the beach in the scope of things, you know. You need to just think about that. You go to the beach and you look at all the sand there and you pick up just one pebble, you know, and you hold it in your finger and think, you know, that's probably Earth. That's not even us. That's just Earth in the scheme of things in the galaxy. So it always just makes you go, doesn't it? When you think about these long distances, it's pretty amazing. Now, talk about the now. SpaceX is considering making what's called the super rocket. And this is pretty big. The private space flight company plans to build a rocket so big it would make the Apollo moon rocket look small. The huge rocket would ultimately send colonists to Mars. But what would SpaceX do in the meantime? The company's primary focus right now is giving NASA astronauts the International Space Station. So they are they're thinking about it, what they could do. You know, they want to build bigger rockets to be able to lift bigger loads. You know, earlier SpaceX said it could develop a rocket that would launch 150 metric tons of payload, or 20 metric tons more than the most powerful version of SLS, at a fixed price cost of about $2.5 billion, an amount that comes out to roughly 1.25 years of SLS funding. Now, this is how much it would take to design it and build it. Now, it's not to say how much it would cost to launch it. Also worthy of consideration is a spacecraft launched by United Launch Alliance, where they would say that they would lift 140 metric tons at $5.5 billion, a total development cost. So the question is, you know, is it make more sense for private industry to do this than for NASA to? It's a good question, but I'd like to see this stuff with these private companies. It drives innovation. It's going to drive money into the marketplace. Going to do jobs. You know, you think you could go to SpaceX, work for SpaceX right now. You know, and if I was a young guy, an engineer, an aerophysics engineer, you know, I would definitely go to SpaceX and get a job. They're doing some exciting stuff. They really, really are. All right, you know, we've talked about these credit card situations for a while. And I think in the past year, I have had 6 or 7 cards replaced. I just got a replacement card, business replacement card, today. It irritates me because I got to go through and change all my accounts and automatically bill on that thing. But the U.S. is finally switching over from insecure credit card signatures to PINs. U.S. banks and merchants are shifting to a more secure way of authorizing credit card transactions, which customers will enter a personal identification number at checkout instead of signing a receipt. So similar to a debit card, but you'd actually have to authorize the credit purchase via PIN. Of course, the United States is the last major market in the world using the signature system, which is part of the reasons why we have such a huge amount of fraud here. So they want to make this happen quickly. Visa, American Express, and MasterCard have announced that banks and merchants that have not adopted technology for face-to-face transactions by October 2015 will be liable for fraudulent purchases. Whew. That's a motivation, right? So expect big changes coming to your credit card and everything else here in the coming months. You a Game of Thrones fan? Well, there's a 15-minute Game of Thrones teaser that's been put up on YouTube. I was, sitting here. Oh, come on. Do not do this to me. All right, there we go. Control-V always works. Sometimes Chrome, you do a right-click in the bar, and I get like this. Chrome's been acting funny. Maybe it's time for a full reset on this browser. But anyway, the new Game of Thrones season, 15-minute teaser is available. And cannot wait. This is going to be great. Season 4 is, of course, the Red Wedding event. And lots of things. This thing is, see how bloody. They have to stop killing people. Actually, they don't if you've read the book. But Game of Thrones Season 4, Ice and Fire, is fast approaching for release. Now, Bill Gates fesses up on Reddit. And basically did a Q&A on Reddit, which is kind of an interesting, you know, to think that Bill Gates would do this. But he dishes everything on from a global condom competition to Bitcoin. And he talks about his advice for aspiring computer science students. And he basically, pretty cool picture, standing near the Reddit mascot. It says, "Ask me anything." This is Bill Gates. So they had all kinds of questions for Bill. So definitely read through the article that's over on CNET. And of course, I'll have the link over at Reddit is available too. So definitely check that out. Hey, over on The Verge, the FCC went after a building. Yes, a building that was responsible for harmful interference with Verizon's wireless network. Apparently, the FCC has issued a formal citation to property owners in L.A. after finding that fluorescent lights in that office building were causing problems for Verizon's LTE network. The Ernest & Young Plaza building in downtown L.A. uses GE-manufactured lights that the company once admitted have the potential to cause interference with certain types of wireless communications. Sure enough, it was. So they've been avoiding the FCC. And now the FCC is demanding that they lay out its plan to rectify the situation within 60 days. And continued violation could result in fines of $16,000 for each day the network problem exists. Wow. Equipment seizures and criminal sanctions, including imprisonment, are also on the table. So they've been given notice. I guess they're going to have to fix their lights in that building. Why would GE release a product like that that would interfere in the first place? That's my question. It also appears that NASA is now accepting, NASA is now working with private companies to take the first steps in exploring the moon for valuable resources like helium-3 and rare earth metals. Initial proposals are due tomorrow for the lunar cargo transportation and landing by soft touchdown program Catalyst. So basically, they want robots to mine the moon. Like, I don't think they're going to have anybody up there panning anytime soon like those guys do up in Alaska. But who knows what lies on the moon. They're definitely going to go up there and dig around. Someone is. But I don't, you know, it seems to me you have to find an awful lot of good stuff in order to pay for exploration and mining on the moon. And I don't know, we want people up there digging around. You know, the next thing we'll have is that you won't be able to see the face of the moon because it'd be one big dust cloud. That could happen. It could. You know, it's just like fine talcum powder up there. It's not, you know, it's not like it's dirt. There's an article over on Wired talking about secrecy is a key to the next phase of social networking. There's a company called Secret. They want to create a more authentic internet. And so there's a new social media app, Secret, and but basically it's a new site that's taking things underground. It's a safe space for feelings and discussions, and nothing is safe. Nothing is safe. It really isn't. You know, they want to monitor something. They're going to just get a warrant and do the same to them as they do every other place. Hey, NASA's shown photos showing a possible flowing water on Mars. Now, that isn't exactly what it is, but they're called reoccurring slope lunae. They've been showing up in photos of Mars, and they could be explained by the presence of seasonal water flows on the red planet. Now, what they're saying is there could be salt water running in them there Martian hills. At least that's how NASA's news Monday of evidence of potential presence of flowing salt water sounded to many ears. So basically, they're seeing some dark markings that scientists say suggest seasonal flows down a slope overlaid with colors from a mineral mapping spectrometer observing the same region. NASA says the dark finger-like markings advance down some slopes when temperatures rise. So might be something really going on here below the surface of Mars. It might be full of water, folks. U.S. TV sales have shrank nearly 10%. Even though the average price of big screen TV only fell 3% last year. So the U.S. television market saw this loss in unit sales due to low demand. The report attributed low demand to a market where consumers have little interest in buying new TVs after upgrading to high def flat screens models less than 10 years ago. I know that we've got we're really at a point here on ours where it's now 10 or 12 years old, and we're going to have to do something soon. But ours is, you know, a little thicker, and we want to go thinner. So, you know, we're definitely looking forward to some aggressive pricing. Definitely not going to spend $7,000 on a 4K. That's not going to happen. I'm going to spend as much money on a television as I could to buy a used car. But anyway, their television sales are down. That's not good for manufacturers. All right, good article on Bloomberg Businessweek talking about Tim Armstrong over at AOL. This guy has really rocked the house over there. He's basically saying that, hey, they got some issues. He casually mentioned that two employees had babies that cost the company more than $1 million in healthcare costs each. He wanted to continue to provide healthcare with that kind of generosity, but believed that the Affordable Care Act would cost the company $7.1 million, so he reasoned he would have to make some cuts to the company's 401k plan. Now, he kind of apologized on this today, and AOL says that they're going to leave the way it matches employees' 401k contributions untouched, but he also basically talked about some other stuff, made some gaffes, and talked about compensation and so forth. You know, this guy's kind of a loose cannon when it comes to talking about stuff, but you know, here again, CEOs are faced with some hard choices. Well, maybe not. I think the Affordable Care Act or whatever they call it, Obamacare, is being delayed for, well, it wouldn't affect AOL. 50 company sizes, 50 to 99, I guess, get another year's reprieve. I wonder if that has anything to do with an upcoming election. But anyway, 99 and above still have to implement it this year or by the end of the year, I guess. So we'll see where this all goes. But, you know, CEOs are faced with these rising costs. And even though I think AOL can afford it, this extra $7.1 million probably is not that big a deal. You know, markets get scared when these guys start talking about this stuff. Amazon's introducing a new web service that I'm kind of confused about. Maybe someone out there has used this. It's called R On Demand. AWS offered a hosted version of Revolution Analysis R distribution for $1.25 an hour. And this Revolution R Enterprise basically is a commercial package of an open source functional programming language designed for statistical computing and graphics. R is being increasingly used for data analysis. And I think you have to have a PhD just to run this thing. But so this is kind of an interesting move here. I have to talk to Angela about this because I don't know. I don't have a clue. So anyone that's in the audience that may have one, let me know. I'd love to hear more about it. Hey, tiny rocket ships could drive into human cells, could deliver drugs. Researchers at Penn State explore the insides of our cells with nano-sized rocket-shaped metal projectiles powered by sound. This is pretty interesting. A tiny rocket-shaped projectile breaches the border of a cell wall and begins to work like an egg beater to whip up the cell's innards or puncture its membranes wall with a battering ram motion. This is like, holy smokes. So they're serious here. The folks at Penn State said our first generation motors required toxic fuels and they would not move in biological fluids, so we couldn't study them in human cells. That limitation was a serious issue. The scientists overcame that problem when they discovered that the nanomotors could be powered by ultrasonic waves, which make them spin, because they did not want to use toxic fuels anymore. The way was cleared for use in living cells. The nanomotors measured 3,000 nanometers wide, which means about 33 of them could be stacked end to end along the width of a human hair. In addition to the using sonic frequencies to spin them, researchers employed magnetic fields to steer them around inside the cells. They also discovered that the various motors could be controlled independently of one another, make them all do very precise work. So they're trying to destroy cells by engulfing them. And doing battle with cancer cells is just one of the potential applications of the research. Nanomotors could perform intercellular surgery and deliver drugs non-invasively to living tissue. He adds that a future goal is in a fantastic voyage-like world, would to have the nanometers link up in a network and create an environment where nanometers would cruise around inside the body, communicating with each other and performing various kinds of diagnosis and therapies. So there's a video that they play is going to blow your mind. This is really some crazy stuff here. It really, really is. But imagine being able to, you know, there's how many of these they'd have to inject would be an incredible number because of the, I just got a mosquito bit me in here. Where did you come from? We've got no wind. Uh-oh, what happened here? We've got no wind and high humidity here in Hawaii. I know you feel sorry for me. Not. But that's what happens in Honolulu when we lose a trades. But going back to this nanotechnology, think about what could be done with cancer here, you know? Instead of going in and having to radiate someone, you got these nanomotors that are going out and destroying cancer. Scientists is getting really cool. There's lots of cool stuff that's coming. Not to mention that, the U.S. military has begun work on brain implants that can restore lost memory experiences. Now, check this out. DARPA, at the behest of the U.S. Department of Defense, is developing a black box brain implant. This implant would be wired into a soldier's brain and record their memories. If the soldier then suffers memory loss due to a brain injury, the implant will then be used to restore those memories. The same implant could also be used during training or in the line of duty. As we reported on this in the past, according to this article in Extreme Tech, they say that simulating the right regions of the brain can improve how quickly you learn new skills, reducing your reaction times and more. Now, this is we all saw about this kind of science in the future where, you know, if you're reading science fiction books, it's where soldiers are transformed and they, you know, they're given new powers and it's a, you know, bioengineered body. And that's all in science fiction. How science fiction turns to like truth. Now, this is crazy, but DARPA has wittily named this Restoring Active Memory is currently at the stage where it's seeking proposals from commercial companies that previously had success with brain implants, such as Medtronic. As yet, we don't know who submitted proposals to DARPA, but it'll probably be the usual suspects. Medtronic, which creates deep brain simulation implants, are the most miraculous in their ability to control the debilitating effects of Parkinson's disease. It's surely interested Brown University, which famously created a brain computer faces implanted into the brain and communicates wirelessly with a nearby computer, maybe a contender as well. But if they really can truly, you know, you talk about the Matrix, like getting jacked in, you know, an implanted device rather than external is definitely, you know, going to be the way to go. But jack us in and upload, you know, upload the training, have the manual on a chip embedded in our brain. I'm going to tell you, I may get off this planet yet. You know, when my body's laying is in a box or headed to the crematory, they can take the chip and plug me in somewhere. It still might be possible. Oh, this is crazy. It really, really is. And, of course, you know, there's been lots of, things happening, like MIT discovering the location of memories via individual neurons, lots of stuff here. You know, we're probably quite a few years away from such an implant, but even if we're 20 years away, holy cow, holy cow. All right, I'm actually slow getting through everything tonight. I got more. Microsoft's starting selling Asus VivoTab Note 8 for $329. The folks over at Microsoft have made this available in their store, and it was widely talked about before CES. Also, how many of you are watching people doing gameplay on Twitch every month? You know, with the inclusion of Twitch streaming functionality to PlayStation 4 and soon in the Xbox One, there's now achieving more than 1 million active broadcasters. So I don't understand the whole thing about wanting to watch people game. But it's huge. A lot of people do it. It's big entertainment. I guess you watch them and play, it's awful awesome. Maybe that's the case. Hey, I've been using a new wireless device called Freedom Pop, And it's pretty cool. And Freedom Pop lets you save money by paying upfront for cheap cell phone service. And I've actually been using their little mobile card, which has worked out pretty well. When I need a little extra bandwidth, you know, $5-6 it costs me, and I get a little bit of more data. When my other, what I was facing with is I have a USB stick and I have a MiFi. And I had increased the MiFi from Verizon up to the higher plan, which was like $80 a month. But yet I was only using like a, like maybe a gig over. So I was able to take the plan back down to the 5 gig level. And then I just use this Freedom Pop. If I run out, I pay like $5 and I get, you know, I get enough data to get me through to the end of the month. It's really kind of worked out well and saved me some money here. So definitely check out Freedom Pop if you're considering it. They're not a sponsor here. I just thought I would tell you guys about it. Hey, new Apple TV hardware references are already appearing in iOS 7 build. It's being referenced as Apple TV 4-1. So expect a new Apple TV here shortly. I think we all knew that was coming. Let's just hope it has the ability to build apps to it. Lots of talk about alien technologies and be able to detect alien technologies. They feel that space heat is going to help the folks from SETI and so forth hunt down alien technologies. And I'm thinking to myself, space heat? Okay, someone's going to have to explain that one to me. So there's about a something's going to hurt your brain over in Gizmodo that talks about this. At the same time, the folks are saying that we're probably going to find or be detecting aliens or extraterrestrial life by 2040 based on the way things are going and how we're mapping and everything else. So, you know, the question is, and maybe some, you know, we've already got Voyager that's basically, you know, moved out into open space, but yet they can get communications from it. If we can, you know, get radio signals from Voyager, should we, you know, as long as the galaxy has been in place, should we not be hearing something discernible in space? You know, they haven't yet. It seems like they should have found something in the radio frequency range. All right, a hacker has swiped PayPal CEO's credit card and went on a shopping spree. He tweeted, "My card with an EMV chip got skimmed while in UK. Tons of fraudulent transactions would have happened, wouldn't have happened if the merchant accepted PayPal." A nice little shot. But yeah, imagine having that guy's credit card and running with it. Sure, there wasn't too, sure, he had no problem with getting them cleared, but probably pretty high balance on that card. Bing is now showing how much your Bitcoin is worth in other currencies. So you can basically put 2.8 million US dollars to BTC in the Bing search, and it'll tell you what that equals. So link will be up in the show notes on that. Intel is introducing a new low-power graphics card that could boost battery life in your next laptop. And we know that graphic cards are just basically huge, huge, huge power sinks. They just suck the power down on any type of device. But they feel that they've got a GPU now that's 40% more efficient than you'd otherwise get in the same type of a graphics card. So expect to see this technology being rolled out into our laptops in the near future. If you're a business and you're a small business and you want to do a Groupon deal, now you can finally launch a Groupon deal without ever talking to a human. They've got a new online market that you can set up your own offer. So that's pretty cool if you are a small business in a town that wants to do a Groupon campaign. Netflix speed index shows further decline in Verizon quality. And again, I talked about this earlier, that Verizon had dropped. Oh, they were ranked 17th, not 25th. So it goes Google Fiber, Cablevision, Cox, Cablevision Optimum, Cox, Suddenlink, Charter, Time Warner, Verizon Fios, Bright House, Windstream, Frontier, CenturyLink, AT&T, UVerse, Mediacom, Comcast, AT&T, DSL, Clearwire, and Verizon DSL. So the folks at Clearwire are delivering, Clearwire sucks. Clearwire's is delivering better Netflix videos than Verizon DSL is. That's incredible. That is incredible. I no longer have Clearwire here. We canceled the account. Oh, fellas, I got the place for you to spend your tax return. You know, you've been doing a lot of shoveling snow, right? Well, how about an RC snowplow that lets you shovel your driveway from your living room? Oh, yeah. By SuperDroidBot, $79.90. Can get you one. It's got a 52-inch wide blade. It can clear a sidewalk in one pass. It does an okay job. Probably not as good a job as you would pay someone to come in and do it. Doesn't have as much power. But I was pretty impressed with the video. I'll let you guys take a look at it yourself. But definitely looks to me like a lot of fun. If nothing else, I could think of all kinds of uses for this thing in the summertime, too. Put a hitch on that bad boy. And it's like having a little mini tractor around it. I assume it runs on car batteries or so forth. But, yeah, if you're tired of doing snow, for $8,000, you can get one that you can use basically an airplane remote control to do. How many of you, you know, you're trying to figure out how to read with your, you know, I get in bed and I want to read my iPad. And I never just can seem to get the right position. And, I, you know, wearing glasses, I want to turn sideways. It just doesn't work out. But there's a new a fun campaign. Basically, it's called the Right Arm. It's a tablet stand like no other. Basically hooks to your desk, has a little flexible pull, and will basically let you use your lap, basically your tablet or your laptop. Pretty slick. It's already hit its $40,000 funding level. But you can take a look at this. You may want to get one of these. I'm definitely headed over there after the end of the show tonight. All right. Good article over on Uber Gizmo. How many of you guys downloaded this game called Flappy Bird? Well, apparently, it's being rumored that Flappy Bird developer apparently received a legal notice from Nintendo. They said it looked a little bit too close to some of the screens as Super Mario. So, you know, they think that he pulled it, but the guy was making $50,000 a day in ad revenue. So, you know, when you're making $50,000 a day in ad revenue, you just don't pull something down. You know, that makes for a pretty good paycheck after about 10 days. So, maybe he's reworking it, but Flappy Bird is no longer on the iOS store, but what it is, it's available via phones. If people want to buy a phone, $1,000, you can buy a Flappy Bird installed on a Samsung Galaxy S3 or an Apple iPhone. They've got them available on eBay if you love it that much. How many of you have shopped at Sears recently? Well, fellas, we don't like going in stores, right? Just imagine ordering some tools from Sears and then basically driving up to a Sears kiosk outside the store. They go and get your package and bring it to you and drop it in your card, swipe your card, and off you go. That's shopping. Sears is launching in-vehicle pickup program, Select Sears. It's gonna be cool. Don't even have to go in the store to get your tools. I love it. Hey, Rackspace shares have been pummeled after the CEO has basically announced he's retiring. So they took a little bit of hit. You know, Rackspace has been doing good financially. They had net revenue 2013 at $408 million, up 16% from the fourth quarter of 2012. So, but they had net income of $21 million, down 30 cents per share. But they still have done very well. And they've gotten a little bit hammered with him announcing he's retiring. But we'll see where this leads as they look for their new CEO. Facebook made some changes to the our news. You know, the thing that's when you log into Facebook now, you get the news trail. The site called Upworthy, traffic got crushed after Facebook made the change. They had a 46% traffic decline in 2 months over it. And but they had some incredible traffic beforehand before Facebook made the change. Once again, someone's platform has destroyed a little bit of someone's business. You just never know when they're going to just turn you off. That seems to happen a lot anymore. Hey, Barnes & Noble's fired its Nook hardware engineering staff. So I don't think there's going to be any more Nook. Over on Washington Post, a blogger paid Facebook to promote his page. He got 80,000 bogus likes instead. And what he says is these people that are buying likes, in order to cover their tracks, the people that they're basically contracting to like pages that are being have been paid to, you know, they have to go around and like a bunch of other stuff in order to not be detected. And this guy got 80,000 bogus likes, and it really says it screwed me because I'm not now able to really engage with my true audience because, you know, when I do a news post, it only gets injected into a certain number of my followers' feeds, and if it's these bogus people. So he actually made some charts up talking about how this has impacted him. And he said, I didn't buy fake likes, but this is what's happened. I went and actually paid, Facebook $50 to promote a post. And I've done that before. I promoted a post for $6-7. And, but I've never gotten 80,000 page likes over the situation. So it's a pretty bad situation here. Could really impact Facebook negatively if they don't get a handle on this. Final article of the night. Google has taken over NASA's Hangar 1 at the old Miramar Naval Air Station, which is now actually run by NASA. But Google's got something going on here. You know, they like the proximity to Google headquarters, what they do. But I guess most of the jets that are there are privately owned. The jets in question are owned by Google executives and not Google itself. So, boy, when you can afford a jet, you've made it in the world. All right, let's go ahead and get into the email comments. I do have a couple, and let me load this up. Today is February 10th. The last show is on the 6th. Got an email from Jim. He said, "Hey, Todd, considering news stories about hacking in Sochi, the news story was fake." Yeah, that's kind of made the rounds, but thanks for sending that over, Jim. I definitely appreciate that. Got an email from DJ. He says, "Hey, Todd, I know you're not the biggest gamer in the world, but I ran across this article today talking about Twitch." He says, "It's no surprise. Netflix is number one. But there were two things I found surprising. Netflix was almost..." Okay, this must be two different topics. "Hey, Todd, I know you're not the biggest gamer in the world, but I ran across this article." And of course, it talks about Twitch. We talked about that. They're fourth in peak U.S. internet traffic. That's something I didn't tell you in the article. I talked to you about all the streams. But he goes on to say, it's no surprise Netflix is number one. But there are two things they found surprising. Netflix has almost one-third of all internet traffic, and Twitch is like fourth. If you weren't aware, Twitch is basically Justin TV's gaming category where live game streams are done. Everything major game tournaments for League of Legends, Dota 2, StarCraft 2, etc. to individual streaming games they normally play. Anyway, I would never expected people watching people play games would be the fourth in all U.S. internet traffic. I agree, Phil. That just blows me away. So you're surprised as I am. I got another email here from Jeff. He says, "Hey, Netflix speed rankings show that the video streaming performance on Verizon and Comcast has been dropping for the past 3 to 4 months. The rankings were updated this morning with data." And he links me to Ars Technica talking about Netflix performance on Verizon and Comcast dropping. Same thing we talked about in the show tonight. So I want to thank those three listeners for sending in those links. You can send me in your comments and your links about the show to geeknews@gmail.com as well. We want to thank you for tuning in here. We'll be back with you on Thursday. Don't forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy. Definitely pick up some great products. We still, 50% off, 32% off, $295.com. Go to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Pick up those promo codes and use them over at GoDaddy. And, of course, don't forget, pick up your drop camera or sell a gadget at Gazelle. And if you want to become a super fan, support the show, be becoming an insider. At 6.5 cents a day, you too can become an insider. Send Sam an email at insider@geeknewscentral.com to get connected on the insider groups. But I want to thank all of you for watching or listening to the show today. It's been my pleasure to bring it to you. And I'm going to work hard over this next week to get unburied. It's to the point where... I'm going to have to let something slide a little bit for a few days to get caught up. But, you got to make hay while the sun shines. That's the way things work in the business world. And business comes first for sure. But everyone, thanks. We'll see you back here on Thursday. We appreciate your continued support of the show. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address, or @geeknews for Twitter. We'll see you next time, everyone. Take care and aloha.